No, we didn't do this last year, because last year it was a double header. It was Vayakol Pekudei. So therefore, there's no way in the world we did this last year. So therefore, we'll start from the beginning. Eilef, Pekudei, HaMishkan, Mishkan, Midos. These are the Pekudei. That's a very hard word to translate. What does it mean, Pekudei? Pekudei means the numbers. It means the accounting. VaHashem Pokad Es Sorah Kasher Omar. Rasha Omar. Hashem,
an officer.
Okay, it's another translation. Hashem, remember, the word pokad pekudei is a very hard word to translate. So over here it says, "Eil these are the pekudei hamishkan mishkan oidos." These are the records. That's what it says in the English. The accounting, taking inventory. Oh, but before I want to remind you that tomorrow night, I may not be here. Okay, so I'll send out a message on the text, just to look out for the messages. And Rabbi Mayevsky is in Eretz Yisrael, so we'll just call it quits for tomorrow. I might come. So, I don't know, I'll send out a text, whatever, and maybe, yeah, maybe not, we shall see. We'll see tomorrow. And Wednesday as well, I don't know. I really don't know what the story is. I have a wedding. Mr. Rapport, Baruch Hashem, here. Mr. Rapport, you there? So I'm going to say that tomorrow night and Wednesday night, I may be here both days. I may miss both. I may come one, not the other. I do not yet know the plans for tomorrow and for Wednesday. Everything is up in the air, so we will see. Okay, I have a family wedding on Wednesday in Lakewood, which I don't want to go. I probably will not go, but who knows? Maybe my sister might want to go, so I might go. I don't know. I have really no idea. And tomorrow night.
So give the share from there.
No, I can't give. It's going to be right in the middle of everything. It's going to be right in the middle. It's not going to be. We'll see. And maybe I'll go after. We'll see. I really don't know. And tomorrow, okay. I have a seam over here. One of my very close friends is making the seam. It's a very chush of a seam. And I don't know if I really want to go. If it's really possible even to go. So maybe we'll talk.
No, why not? No. Anyway, I will not miss the match because I will not be here.
You're not going to be here tomorrow. Okay, Mr. Rapport. Okay, we'll see.
I don't understand your thinking, Maria. I'll tell you something. I always feel that if it's a chashuva friend and you go to a seer, you can't go back and say, oh, gee, I wish I went to the seer.
You're right.
I've had that too.
So I'll tell you this. The seer, the seam is really, it's only for family. It's not, it's a private seam.
But he invited you.
I don't know if he really invited me.
No.
I don't think he really invited me. I found out about it.
I agree with Laser.
Okay, I hear. Okay, you're encouraging me to go.
You know, my wife, I'll give you an example. My wife learns in a telephone chair.
Yeah.
During the week. One lady lives here, one lady in Lakewood, and our neighbor. So the one in here, and my wife doesn't know the lady that well. She never really even sees her. But the lady made a vart. So my wife said, I don't want to go, you know, whatever. I said, you should go. Cover the person, you know, you learn with her, you know her. And she didn't invite her, because a vart, you know, you don't invite. And she went, and she came back. My wife said, you know what, you're right, you were right. I went. I always feel if you can go, you know the person, you should go. Because you can't, you know what I mean? You can't.
100%, 100%. Honestly, so it depends. Right, it depends. I don't. You're right. We'll see. Are you encouraging me? It's very well. Your encouragement will result that I will go. Mitch, I'm going to go. Okay, you're right. We all know this. Sometimes we look back and it's a little waste of time, and sometimes it was the right thing to do. Okay, we'll see. Thank you for your encouragement. I think the seam. You're right. It's local. The wedding in Lakewood. It's not really necessary. Whatever. Thank you. I appreciate the encouragement. And we shall see. The seam, I think you had a ration on me. Alright, let's see. Eilef v'kudei ha-mishkan mishkan v'dashem v'kudei ha-mishkan v'dashem v'kudei ha-mishkan v'dashem v'kudei ha-mishkan. We have over here an accounting. This is the accounting. Okay, v'kudei means a din v'cheshven of the mishkan. And mishkan, there has to be transparency. We want to know where every single dollar is spent. Every single dollar must be accounted for. The mishkan ha-edus, the Mishkan of the Eidos, okay. That's those are two words which mean the same thing, really. Okay, it's the Olmoid, the tabernacle of testimony. What does that mean? Okay, we'll see. Asher Pukad al pi Moshe, which was accounted for by Moshe, by the mouth of Moshe, Avodas ha-Levim, the service of the Levim in the hands of Biyani Samar, Biyan Aaron HaKohen. And there's a lot going on here in this pasuk, and everything over here needs to be explained. Let's take a look over here. Let's see, we'll do the Rashi first today. Eile, these are the fikudei. B'parasha zu nimdu kol mishkolei anitvas ha-mishkolei. This parasha is calculated. All of the mishkolim of the donations. All the mishkolim in the money of the nidus ha-mishkolei la-kesev, la-zev, la-cheshes. V'nimdu kol keil v'chol avodosai. So Rashi says the counting here is not just money. The counting is the money. And the money came in three forms. People gave silver, people gave gold, and people gave copper. Three different types of mishkolim, shekel, coins. Now it's very interesting, by the way, that in the time of the Midbar, they had coins. They minted coins. The Jews were so sophisticated, they just left Egypt less than a year ago, and they had a whole economy in the desert. Can you imagine? A nation is traveling in the desert 40 years, and they carry with them a Fort Knox. They carry with them a printing presses to print currency, to mint coins. Isn't it a little strange? The whole thing is a wonder. You have 3 million people traveling the desert, and how did they left? They had the mon, the be'er, they had money?
Maybe currency of the nations.
So you want to say it's money from the Egyptian money. They continued to use Egyptian money. They had coins minted in Egypt, very possibly. Maybe they were some type of international currency. Chazal tell us that they went to merchants. They were merchants passing through the desert, or they knew where to go, and they would go local. They would buy things. Who knows? But that's what Rashi says. They were mishkalim, they were coins. L'chor from Egypt, they had coins. And these coins came in three different metals: silver, gold, and copper. Okay, today we have such things. We have copper coins today. They make copper coins. I don't know anything about this. Everything's an alloy today. We have silver, obviously. Gold, I mean, theoretically, there used to be something called gold coins, but gold coins are not real gold. It's an alloy. Real gold is not possible to have real gold coins. It's too soft.
The pennies used to be copper until 1978
okay.
or whatever.
Okay, today they're not copper. Today, from what I understand, it costs more than a penny to make a penny. It costs the government much more than one penny to make every penny. It's ridiculous that the government spends money. It's just traditional. It's symbolic. Every penny that they mint today costs more than a penny. So any or normal government would say, what are you doing? What do you need pennies for? It costs too much to maintain the penny, so get rid of the penny. Maybe they'll cost, who knows? Okay, so three different coins. We have silver, we have gold, and we have copper. V'nimnu kol kelav l'chol avodasa. Then Rashi adds another very important point. They calculate all of the utensils. They calculate the utensils l'chol avodasa, and I guess l'chol for its purpose. There are many utensils, and there are many utensils which are not even listed. And we know that in the Beis Hamikdash there were 93 utensils. This is a Mishnah. And the Sechta Tamid, they use in the Beis Hamikdash 93 utensils every single day. For all the various korbanos, all the different, that was the smallest number. Every day, a set of 93 utensils for the service of the day, at least. Okay, fine. Hamishkan, it says here the word Mishkan twice. Ela, this is the counting. So according to the Parish of Rashi, it's very, very important. When it says here the word Pikudei, it says Rashi's translation is Nimnu, to count. That's Rashi. Then it says Hamishkan twice. Eila, these are Fikudei.
The English has Nimnu as
records.
Listed.
As records.
Not counted, listed.
Which English are you reading from? The Art Scroll? Which English?
Nimnu kol mishkalei. Now, in this passage, all the weights, she doesn't even say it's coins, all the weights of the contributions of the Mishkan have been listed.
Which translation are you reading from?
Art Scroll,
which Art Scroll? There are many Art Scroll versions. The Chumash Rashi one, or the Stone Edition.
This is a Saperstein edition. The Torah with Rashi's commentary.
The Rashi, the Chumash Rashi. This is the weights. That's shocking. Pikudei, because Rashi says, "Beparsha zu nimnu." It says was nimnu means to count. Kol mishklei. So he's translating the weights. I see what they're doing in the Art Scroll. Listed with Mishkol.
Also listed. He's saying not weighed. Listed.
Listed. Okay, so it's very interesting. So here it says the word Mishkol, and Mishkol, he's saying, does I told you, see, I made a mistake. Or maybe I said another interpretation of the Rashi. Rashi says the word Mishkol. I thought the word Mishkol means a shekel. It means coins. There were coins made from silver, coins from gold, coins from copper. The article, Saperstein edition, appears to learn that the word Mishkol does not mean a coin. It means a weight. There were bars of gold, bars of silver, slabs of copper. Okay, they gave chunks of metal, and the chunks of metal were weighed, and the weight was recorded. How much did this person give? Did you give weights? And here, nimdu means to nimdu. So you're saying that the article, the translated word nimdu, means to be listed. We're listing of it. We're listing the weights. That's very interesting. To list the weights. I thought it would indicate over here, it would see the word nimdu means to count. And called mishkale would mean coins. So I, on my own, without seeing any commentator, said something that was different than what it says in the article. I have no doubt that the article editors are infinitely wiser than me. That's an understatement. And they said listed, and then they said weights. They know something that I certainly don't know and probably will never have known. Okay, but yet, I have a right to be suspicious and to challenge them. Why do they translate the word nimdu as listed and not as count? And why does the word mishkol mean a weight and not a coin? Mr. Rapport, do you agree that I have a right to be suspicious of what is presented over here?
Well, I don't know if I would use the word suspicious, Rabbi. I'd use the word challenge. Investigate.
Okay, so we'll look at the Targum and we'll see. Okay, Nidvas, okay, that's Makuta. Now we go over here to the word Hamish. Now Rashi goes to a Tanhuma. When Rashi quotes Tanhuma, this is something which you're not going to really get this in the Unkelist. This is more like Rashi's, you know, a little addition. And it says the word Mishkan twice. Elef, Mishkan. Mishkan. The word Mishkan repeats itself. What's the purpose of repeating the word Mishkan twice? To teach you Shnei Pa'amim. Remes l'mikdash shenismash b'mikdash shenismashkein b'shnei churbonin, that was taken as a mashkein in the two destructions al avoneihem shel Yisrael. Now Rashi, you know, he learns something very interesting. How many batei mikdash? Let's put. We know. We many times in the Shira. There were seven mikdashes. There was the Mishkan of Moshe. Then there was Gilgal. Then Shiloh. Then Noiv and Givai. Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni. Let's drop them all and only focus on the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni. We call it the first and the second. Was there really two Mishkanos, two Mikdashos? Also, they have a distinction, by the way, that they're called a Mikdash. A Mikdash because Moshe Rabbeinu's structure was called a Mishkan. In Gilgal, it was called a Mishkan. In Shiloh, it was called a Mishkan. And Noiv given was called a Mishkan. It was only first called a Mikdash in the Bayis Rishon. In the Bayis Rishon, they were called a Mikdash. That was the ultimate they were called a Mikdash. So the question here is, when it says Mikdash, so let's put aside the Mishkan, it's only the Mikdash. Are they called two, or it's the same? It's the same Mikdash. It was rebuilt. There was the Mikdash, and then there was the Churban. And then 70 years later, it was rebuilt. But it's the same thing. I know that the architecture was different. And there were many differences between the structure of the Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. Okay, so it was refurbished. And if a person goes and he does construction, he doesn't do bathroom in his home. He doesn't do kitchen. Well, you can say you're living in a new house. You're living in the same...
The Shechina didn't come out.
Okay, but it's the same Mikdash. When a person does serious renovations in his house, you move out for a month or two or three or a year. People who do construction in their house, they save up money and they want to go do a new kitchen, they want to go to a new bath, they want to finish the basement, and they know it's going to make such a mess, so much dust. So they move out. They move out for a couple of months. They go wherever they go. They move out. So when they come back, you're going to tell me, oh, it's a new family who moved in. The new family? It's the same family. They moved out because they did renovations. You can say it's a new house. It's not a new house. It's the same old house. You fixed it up. So you do some demolition. You rebuild. You repair. It's the same house. Is it really true that we call the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, two separate structures? There are people that take issue with this. And they say there's only one Mikdash. There was the Tekufa, what the time that we called of the Bayis Rishon, and there's the Tekufa we call the Bayis Sheni, but it's one Mikdash. It's the same Mikdash. Rashi here alludes to that. Rashi says, HaMishkan HaMishkan, Shnei Pamim, Remes LeMikdash, to the one and only, the one and only Beis HaMikdash. There's only one Mikdash. The Mikdash of Shlomo is the Mikdash of the of Ezra and Nehemiah. It's the same Mikdash. However, Shenis Mashkein, Hashem took it away from us as security, as a pledge, B'shnei Churbanin, through two acts of destruction that was done by Hashem, Al, why? Avoinoi Sehen Shel Yisrael, due to the sins of the Jewish people. So Rashi was alluded to a very fast, and you can't deny this was Rashi. Rashi learns there's only one Mikdash, and that one Mikdash was destroyed twice. So when we need to refer to a timeline as a point of reference, we call the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, but that's a misnomer. There's only one Mikdash. Rashi says it here explicitly. Remez la Mikdash. And what about that Mikdash? Shenis Mashkein. It was taken as security from us twice. B'shnei Churbanin, through two acts of destruction, al due to Avoyno Seyen Shel Yisrael. Okay, that's a very deep concept. Next, Mishkan Ho'edus. I mentioned, what does this mean? Mishkan Edus Yisrael. It is testimony of Yisrael Shevita Lohen HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aseh Egel Shevei Hishresh Shechinosei B'neihem. And this is a very powerful concept. And actually here is coming to the Megala, what was the purpose of the Mishkan? Why do we have a Mishkan? Why do we even have a Beis HaMikdash? It's a shocking thing. The whole purpose of having this structure is Hashem's way of revealing to the world that He has forgiven us for worshipping the Egel. In other words, so that, what does that mean then? What would have then been had the Jewish people not worshipped the Egel? What would have been? From Rashi, if you want to go take Rashi to an extreme, there never would have been a Mishkan or a Mikdash. Where were the Jewish people, where would they serve Hashem? Doesn't say. We don't know what would have been. Maybe there would have been no central location. Every street corner, you do whatever you want. You want to bring a carbon, so every shul you bring a carbon. You have local shuls, you do this, you do that. It's not really clear what would have been. But one thing it seems, there would not have been a Mishkan, a central location, the way they had in the desert, the way we have it. So the only reason why these things exist is Hashem's way of revealing to the world that He has forgiven us for worshipping, revealing to ourselves, to us, that He has forgiven us for the sin of worshipping the angel, and He is resting His divine presence amongst us. That's what it says. He denied this. Mishkan or Edus. Edus, this Mishkan is testimony in Israel, Sheviter Lohen HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Maaseh HaEgel Sharei Hishresh Shechinaso B'neihem. And it's a very important word here, by the way. It says Sheviter. Sheviter does not mean He forgave. Viter means He overlooked. It's like we said today in the morning, Kol Ha'omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatron Yivatru Chayav. Anyone who says that Hashem is a Vatron, what's a Vatron? He doesn't care. There are certain things that don't bother Hashem. He doesn't pay attention to. You know, a person doing Chazor HaShas, he speaks Lashon Hara. Person, you know, once in a while, he's hungry, so, you know, he eats something that's not so kosher. You know, once in a while, a person, you know, he does like these little Averis, or even big Averis. Eh, you know, you get a freebie. Once in a while, you get a freebie. You know, you can do an Aver here and there. As long as you're good. Yeah, you have credit. It's like a video game. If you don't do Averos for 3 weeks, okay, you get a freebie. You can now do an Aver for free. Bonus. Go out and you can eat something that kosher. One meal is on me, Hashem says. Anyone who says that, his life is not worth anything. Hashem will just give away his life as a freebie to the satan. Kol ho'omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatran. Anyone who says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's a Vatran. It's very hard to translate the word. I don't have a good translation. He gives away things. He gives away things just for free without calculation. He looks the other way. Such a person, then Hashem will look the other way when the Malach HaMavis comes to take him. Take him, who cares? I'm not interested in him anyway. It's Mida K'neged Mida. There is nothing that goes unaccountable. Every single machshava, every single deed, there's a din v'cheshbon on every single thing. I remember something really good stuff from Meir Shapiro. Meir Shapiro went to a taxi, and you know, in Eretz, you go into a taxi, it's a battlefield. It's always, I don't know if you had the experience, you know, it's one where either the driver, the passenger, engages the driver and tries to convince him to become from, or the driver tries to steal all your money. You know, I take people on tours, I can do this for you, I can do that for you. You know, in Israel, the taxi driver, there's always a negotiation, there's always something going on in the taxi driver. So he went to the car, and the taxi driver was about to eat. So he says, so Meir Shapiro said to him, he said, you know, you're not making a bracha? How could you not make a bracha? You're going to eat without making a bracha? So he said to Meir Shapiro, Rabbi, if you knew the averos that I do every single day, if you knew what goes on by me, this is a joke. I should make a bracha? A bracha is nothing compared to the averos that I do every single day. So Rav Meir Shapiro said to him, let me tell you something. It's not the way it works. That ego basaroiv. If most of your activities are averos, so you do, it doesn't matter. In Shemayim, you punish for every avera, and you are rewarded for every mitzvah. Every single thing is a separate din v'cheshbon. No, you did averos, you do averos, you're planning to averos. But right now, what's it to you? You're going to be a vatron? Right now, you're in a good frame of mind, you have some good food. What does it bother you to thank Hashem for the food? Later in the day, you'll do terrible averos. All right, you'll do terrible averos later in the day. But right now, don't be mevater. Hashem is not mevater on any little detail. So here, this is a fascinating Rashi. Rashi says the word vitor. Vitor. The entire purpose of the Mishkan is not that Hashem forgave us. It's just to say that in the meantime, Hashem was mevater on the Maaseh HaEgel.
Overlook
does not mean forgive. There will be an accounting. We learned that in Parashas Ki Sisa, V'yom yom poti pokadeti. Everything has an accounting. Nothing goes for free. All right, that's another point. Next, now avoidas. What is avoidas halavim? Pekudei amishkan nekein lefi avoida hamesura lalavim b'amidbar. Okay, so the pekudei hamishkan, the accounting, the taking inventory of the Kelev, Mishkan, the Kelev, the Mishkan, the Kelev, hi avoida, it is a service, ha-misu that is given over the Levim, the Levim, the Midbar, law says to take apart, to carry, ula hoirid, to take down, ula kimen, to erect, ish, l'masoi, ha-mufkan, alav, this is the Parashas Nosoi. Parashas Nosoi is broken down to three different shvatim, different parts of Shiva Levi, who exactly carries what, who does what, L'masoy ha-mufkad, all of it, he was in charge of Kemosha Omer b'parashas Nosoy, like it says in Parashas Nosoy. Okay, so therefore the Levim, they are in charge. It is the Avodas HaLevim, the Pekudei HaMishkan V'Kelav. Okay, now there's a very fascinating Rashi, because Rashi over here is coming to teach you what exactly is the Pekudim. In other words, every single time that the Mishkan was taken apart and was reassembled, was a separate accounting. We took apart, 50 krushim. Are they all accounted for? Before we travel into the desert, do we have all 50, or is one of them missing? When they reach their destination, do we have all 50 krushim, Or is something missing? Do we have all of the hooks? Do we have all the curtains? Do we have all of the shovels for the mizbeach? The mizrukos, the mizlagos, the machtos, the neros? Do we have everything that we need? Rashi here is telling us an incredible chiddush. We read the pasuk very simply. Elu b'kudei mishkan. Oh, b'kudei mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu went and he did it once. Everyone gave a donation and they opened up the books and they have 600,000 men over the age of 20 and the women, and every single person's name is there, what they gave for the Mishkan and exactly where the money went, how much is left over, how much they paid the workers, every single detail. It was a one-time deal, a one-time shot where they made a calculation of where every penny was spent. Along comes Rashi, and Rashi says, not true. They did this at least 80, in this almost 100 times. 48, 96, at least 96 times. Because there were 48 masois, 42 masois, plus another six when they went backwards. So let's make it still there, 42 masois. That's 84 times. Was there a roll call? Where are all the different items of the Mishkan? Is everything accounted for? That's what the pasuk says. This is what's called the Mishkan with Asher Pukar Al Pi Moshe. It was an accounting originally by Moshe. Avoidas Halevim. Rashi, it was Mosur. Pikudi Mishkan Mikhailov, he avoida Hamisura. Moshe. He made the system. He designed the program to make an accounting. He coded QuickBooks, Quicken, or any of the other popular software that's used by accountants. He's the one who coded it. And he gave it over to the Levi and he trained them how to use it, how to customize it. And every single time there was a journey, they opened up the books and they made the calculations to make sure everything is there. The Pekudei. What? That's the next Rashi. That's that.
Yeah, but he was the operations manager. If there was a.
In Achnali, but you need workers.
He's held accountable.
100%. The big accounting firms, they have a CEO, they have partners, and then they have associates and interns. There's a whole staff. They have thousands and millions of people that work in these, whatever the number of people work in these accounting firms. Of course. So it's the Levium. The Levim are not only Uber drivers. They're not only people who go and they transport the Mishkan from location to location. They also are accountants. When they reach the destination, they open up the books and they start counting. We're supposed to have 300 hooks. Where are the hooks? We're missing a hook. Everything has to be accounted for. Accountability, transparency.
So who did Moshe come screaming at? The Levim or Yisrael? Where are the hooks?
They came screaming at him.
Where are the hooks? Where are the hooks? We're missing the hooks. You're responsible.
They came screaming at him. Moshe made the first accounting, and from then on in, it was given over to the Levim. Moshe was the first accounting. Asher Pokad, it was calculated Al Pi Moshe. And then it says in the Pasuk, Avoidas HaLevim. What does that mean? Translate the words literally. It doesn't make one bit of sense. These are the records of the tabernacle of the pact. I don't even know what that means. Which were drawn up at Moses' bidding. That's pretty good. Moshe is the one who's the one who designed the system to take an accounting. And then, Avodas HaLevim, the work of the Levites. What? What does that mean? Missing a word here. After Moshe did it the first time, he gave it over. From now on, you will be the one who's going to make an accounting for all of the different items of the Mishkan. So they say to him, Moshe, it's done already. It's done. There's nothing more to count. The Mishkan is built. Everything is in position. You collected all the money. There's nothing more to do anymore. No. When we go on a journey, we're going to take it apart, disassemble it. And when we come back, we're going to reassemble it. And when you take it apart, you have to make sure everything is accounted for. And when you come, you have to make sure nothing got lost. Everything, always a constant a calculation. Like they take these kids in the bus, and they take little children. What are you doing? Take little children to school? It's a universal system in day camps. all the Jewish day camps all over the world, when you, especially in the mountains, when you take kids on the bus, you get on the bus, everyone gets a number. Gets a number. And then you start. Before you leave, you count. Everyone gets their number. 1, 2, 3, 4, up to whatever, let's say, 50 seats on the bus. And before you leave, okay, roll call. And the first goes 1, next 2, 3, 4. And then you can, 1 second, identify we're missing someone. Number 32 didn't respond. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Number 32, number 32 is missing. He's missing? Go look for him. We're not going nowhere until we find number 32. I mean, I was a kid, that's what we always do. Every time we go on the bus, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, in a second, this kid's missing. Now what do we do? Gotta go find the kid, or he's in the bathroom. Could you imagine they would leave without the kid, and the kid's still in the bathroom? What a nightmare that would be. Okay, so every time they traveled in the Midbar with the Mishkan, do we have all of the Kalim? Do we have all of the Kodoshim? Do we have all of the Adonim? Do we have all the brackets? Do we have all of the Tabois? Do we have all of the Brichin? This is so many things. So many different things. They probably had spare parts also, just in case. They had to be ready for everything. So this was given over to, this was all given over to the Levim. So Nachon, Mishkan Eidos, Avos Aliyim, Bagulim, Avos Mishkan Levim, Bibar, it was Mesura. He avoided HaMesura La Levim Bamibar. Losses to carry. Ula Hoyri to take down. Ula Hakim. Ish L'masai HaMufkar. Lo, that was a point. Moshe Omer B'Parashas Nosai. Okay, Biyari Samar, Hu Hoya Pocket Alev, he was in charge. The chief officer, Limsor L'chol, base of Avoida Shalav, what he's supposed to do. And all of this is all included in the word Pikudim. So let's review the pasuk inside. Eile, these are the Pikudei. The Pikudei means the calculation. The calculation HaMishkan, of what? The Mishkan, of the Mishkan, of the, now what about the Mishkan? The calculation, so Rashi says the calculation of all the different parts of the Mishkan, all the different parts of the Mishkan, including the weights of gold, silver, and copper, or coins of gold, silver, and copper. The Mishkan is called the Mishkan HaEdus. It is a place, this is a place of testimony, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he rested his Shechin, he has been viter, he has overlooked for the moment, the Chet of the Egel, Asher Pukar al Pi Moshe. Moshe was the one who made the arrangement, Moshe is the one who made the system of calculating. And when Moshe, after he made the system of Avodas HaLevim, he gave it over to the Levim. Now from here on, you're going to be in charge to make sure everything has been accounted for. And that includes also who's going to do what, who's going to do all the different types of labor that is involved. Biyadi Samar, who's going to be the chief executive officer. We're not going to call him the chief financial officer, because Moshe was the chief financial. We're not going to call him the chief, we'll call him the chief executive officer, which is the CEO, right? It's the CEO, the chief, he's the one to, Biyad Aaron Akrei. All right, now, let's now see the Chidushim of the Targum Unkelus, and see if there is an issue here that he wants to take up with Rashi. What happened to the Targumim? 1 second, I got lost over here. Targumim. Here we go. Targum Bliss Al Shemois. Elaine Minyone. This is the number, the Minyon. Mashkina of the Mishkan. He doesn't talk about gold, silver, and copper. He doesn't talk about weights. He doesn't talk about coins. He just says, this is the number of the Mashkina of the base of the Mishkan, which is called Mashkinas Disahaduso. It is a dwelling of testimony. He does not tell us what the testimony is. D, Ismene, that was calculated. Al Memro de Moshe, by the word of Moshe. Polchan, now this is something, the word Avoidas, the work, is a work. A Polchan is a worker. Levoe, of the Levium. Bida, through the Isomar Ba'ar. Kahana the Kohen. He doesn't really say very much. Okay, the unkelus here is shy. He's shy. Rashi takes the word unkelus, all this, and Rashi has to elaborate, Minyone, Rashi elaborates the calculation or the counting of the gold, silver, and copper of either coins or weights. The mashkina twice, mashkina adrosha. There's one day Hamikdash who was taken as a mashkina twice. The sadusa, it's a testimony that Hashem has been viter al the egel. The Yisminei Alpim, Al-Memri, the Moshe, Moshe, the one that started the process. Polchon Levor, here's where Rashi adds more in. And this was then given over. After Moshe set up the system, he gave over the system to the Levim, Bidod, the Soma, Ba'arin, Akahana, and this institute of the Levim, the organization of the Levim, was spearheaded, was run by Isamar. Elozar, these are the two remaining brothers. Nadav and Avihu died. Aaron had left two more sons, Elozar and Isamar. Notice it was not given over to Elozar. Elozar was the Skan Kohen Gadol. He was the Skan Kohen Gadol. He was busy. What does the Skan Kohen Gadol do? I have no idea. Wahavil Elif Alfi Avdolos. What does the vice president do? He does the Paradum, the only Moshe did the Paradum. It was only Moshe, there was no need, it was only Moshe's Paradum. The next Paradum was who? Elazar in Eretz Yisrael. So that's only a one-time shot, only one-time thing. What does he do the rest of the day, Elazar? What does he do the rest of the day? I remember when I went to rabbi school many, many years ago, sponsored by the National Council of Young Israel, so Rabbi Faskowitz, he was a rabbi in Canarsie. He was a young guy then, he was very young. And he said that one of the Balabatim said to him, Rabbi, what do you do the whole day? What do you do the whole day? All you do is you come here on Shabbos and you give a drasha and once in a while you do a funeral, once in a while you come to a bar mitzvah. Why are we paying you so much money? What do you do the whole day? Wow, what
Rabbi.
So he told him, I invite you sincerely to follow me around the whole day. Come in the morning, davening in shul at 7 o'clock. Come 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, I have to get up at 6:30 to be on time for davening, maybe even earlier. We won't talk about what goes on in the morning before davening, but come meet me in shul at 7 o'clock. Follow me around the whole day. And you'll see what I do the whole day. And I don't remember, this such a long time ago. And he told us what a typical day is like. When you have a very active shul, it was one thing. You have a shul that there's no one in the shul, okay. But when you have a very active shul, you're busy the whole day, preparing shiurim, giving shiurim, dealing with people, dealing with emergencies, writing letters, publishing, doing this, doing that. He gave us a whole speech. And he says, but the problem is, the Balabatim, they think you do nothing the whole day, and they don't want to pay you. Because what he did the whole day. But my father, he was a Rav. My father didn't even want to become a Rav. So the whole story, what happened to my father. And then he became Rav. And it was a part-time job. It was supposed to be just Shabbos. The whole job is you only come on Shabbos. It's only to come on Shabbos, give a drasha. And they paid my father very, very little, very little. Give a drasha, and you have a shalosh shudas, this, maybe we'll make a din, this. Part-time job. So I can tell you, my father's full-time job is he taught economics in YU. He was an economics professor in Yeshiva University for 38 years. Yeshiva University. And he was very busy. He taught, I think, four courses most of the time. And he worked very hard, a lot of students. And a lot going on in Yeshiva University. It takes just to get there. It takes an hour, can take an hour and 15 minutes, hour and a half just to get there, by train to get there, back and forth. And he worked very hard in Yeshiva University, but I can tell you, as hard as he worked in Yeshiva University, he worked even harder with the shul, spent even more time on the shul. And my father's parnasa was mainly from Yeshiva University. That was his parnasa. The shul was bonus money. It wasn't too much. But I'm telling you honestly, my father probably spent more time on the shul than he spent in Yeshiva University. My father told me, he says, in the later years, my father, they would never ever hire in Yeshiva University a professor that had a shul. Never. My father was grandfathered in. In those days, Yeshiva University was struggling literally to survive. And then Baruch Hashem, Yeshiva University became a powerhouse. It picked up quite a bit under Lamb, Dr. Lamb. He rebuilt the yeshiva in a very significant way. And when he retired, the yeshiva was doing phenomenally well when he retired. Now I don't know. Now it's going. I don't know what's doing now. I'm not in the loop anymore. Not that I have a really woman, but then, and my father would tell me, they would never, ever, ever hire a professor today that has another job, especially a rabbi.
Because B'nai Ashurin in Teaneck works the other way, Rabbi Levine. In B'nai Ashurin, the new rabbi cannot hold an outside job.
Ah, absolutely. Well, B'nai Ashurin is a shul. B'nai Ashurin is an exceptional shul. The place there is about 700 members. I mean, you're dealing over here with a membership that's not normal. You need 5 rabbis for that number of people. I was talking about a little shul of retired people. It was a very small shul, and it was not. And yet you don't realize how much. So over here it's very interesting. We have Aaron the Kohen Gadol. We have Elazar, his second in command, the Skan Kohen Gadol. And who gets the job of being in charge of the institution called the Levium? It was the second son. It was Isamar, not the first son. Now, this must have been a major job, to manage all the Levium, all the Mishmaris, and to manage, you know, they had a guard, the Beis HaMikdash, Shomrim, and you have to sing Shira, and they have to be trained to sing Shira, the musical instruments, and this is probably an enormous amount of administrative work. Enormous amount of administrative work to put the whole system into place with 3 million, dealing with 3 million people, and then you have the Levim that are there to service with the Kohanim, 3 million people, Korbanos, and this and that. And there's an enormous amount of work that has to be done, just administrative work, to put everything into place that should work smoothly. So, it's a very
what
big job.
Ruchnius?
And the Ruchnius! And it goes without saying.
No, but that would be a Elazar's side.
Oh, so you say, but it doesn't, right?
It's like you have a Rosh Yeshiva who, you know, is always giving sure of that.
Not anymore. Today,
Rosh Yeshivas
today don't give shurim anymore. Today, Rosh Yeshivas are fundraisers. Chaval, that's the way it is today. Today, Rosh Yeshiva, basically, all the Rosh Yeshivas today, they turn into fundraisers. Chaval, I really feel bad for them. You have to go every night to a wedding, you have to do fundraising. What kind of life is that? All right, so we learned at least one pasuk tonight. We learned one pasuk. We learned a lot of chidushim. Eilef pikudei hamishkan shana. This we learned the inside Rashi. The word pikudei is a hard word to translate. Nimdu, or to list the mishkan. The mishkan refers to either the shkolim or the weights of gold, silver, and copper. Two words, Mishkan, Mishkan. Is there one Beis HaMikdash? Are there two Batei Mikdash? Rashi says only one Beis HaMikdash with two. It was taken as a Mashkoin twice. A Mashkoin means to come back. Eidos Hashem was Mevater. He wasn't Mechaper, he was Mevater. Asher picked up the Moshe. Moshe was the one who made the system. And what did he do? He gave it over. He gave it over to the Levium. Who's the Baal HaBos? Isamar ben Aaron HaKoyin. And what do we learn from that? What was the chiddush we took out of the Targum? We took out something out of the Targum. I'll remember the Moshe, Polchon, Levoi, Biyod. Okay, so hopefully it was worth coming tonight to at least learn the first pasuk in Pikudei. So tomorrow night, I'm probably not going to be here tomorrow night. Okay, Mr. Rapport has encouraged me not to miss the Siyum of my friend. The truth is, it's a very meaningful theme. I can't explain to you why. There's a lot of, and it's really for the family, but somehow, I don't know, I was like semi-invited to come, even though I'm not part of the family. So I'm probably gonna go. So tomorrow night is not likely gonna be a shiur. I'll send a message. Thank you for coming. Rabbi Lezer, enjoy your vacation, Rabbi Lezer. Enjoy.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy. Mr. Rapport, have a wonderful night. Ezra, Northern Forest.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night. Mr. Ms. Glatter, Thomas should go on vacation together somewhere. Okay. Be well. Be well, everyone. Zeigesund. Good night.